This is WFYI News Now. It's November 13th, and I'm Sarah Neil Estes. This story coming up, children with disabilities are entitled to a public education. But a WFYI investigation found when schools don't fulfill that obligation, many parents say their only resort is legal action. Here's a clip of that conversation coming up.
My reporting partner and I started looking into this particular special education system because of the large number of complaints parents had filed against it.
But first, these headlines. Newfield's president and CEO has stepped down from the job just after more than a year on it. Dr. Colette Pierce-Burnett was the first Black woman to lead Indianapolis's art museum and campus. The CEO and president she replaced stepped down after public outcry over a job post that sought to maintain the organization's, quote, traditional core white audience, unquote, while increasing the diversity of Newfield's visitors. Newfield's did not offer a reason for Burnett's sudden departure, but thanked her for her service in a statement. The board appointed Michael Kubacki, interim president and CEO. He served on the board from 2014 through 2023 and previously served as vice chair. He is the executive chairman of Lake City Bank. More kids in Indiana are exempt from routine childhood vaccines. New CDC data suggests that 2.8% of kindergartners in the state now have exemptions from one or more of the required school vaccines. WFYI and Side Effects Public Media's Farah Yousri reports most of the states in the U.S. are seeing a similar trend.
3% of kindergartners nationwide are now exempt from routine school vaccines. That's the highest rate of vaccine exemptions ever, according to new data by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Some public health experts say this is one of the ripple effects of pandemic-fueled misinformation and mistrust. The data also shows that non-medical exemptions, such as religious and personal belief exemptions, are entirely behind that jump. Already, childhood vaccination coverage has dipped in the last two school years compared to before the pandemic. Right now, 93% of kids are up to date on their shots. That's also 2 percentage points lower than the healthy people target, that is, the rate of vaccination in a community which makes it safe and protected against disease outbreaks like measles. I'm Farah Yousri, Side Effects Public Media.
Most people have not heard of sulfur hexafluoride, or SF6, but it's one of the most potent greenhouse gases. Last year, a metal recycling company in Anderson, Indiana, emitted more of it than any other industrial facility in the country. And now, Rebecca Thiel reports, the company has a plan to transition away from it.
Advanced Magnesium Alloys Corporation, or Amicor, recycles magnesium, mostly for use in the auto and aluminum industries. It uses FX6 to protect the molten metal from burning during the recycling process. Chief Operations Officer Ari Shaked says the company has been working with the Environmental Protection Agency for more than a decade to come up with an alternative. But until recently, none of them worked or weren't safe to use.
But I'm happy to say that in the last year, we were engaged with a few players, and we tested equipment as well as different gas, and we came to a conclusion that we are able to use something else.
What that is, the company won't say. It's a trade secret. But Shaked says Amicor expects to start using the alternative by early next year. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Rebecca Thiel.
And our final story today goes behind the scenes of one of our investigations. WFYI's education reporting team has invested years in learning what happens in our special education classrooms. They've talked with teachers, with families, and they've reviewed a lot of data they requested from districts in the state. Today, to learn more about one of the most recent investigations, WFYI's Darian Benson spoke with education reporter Lee Gaines. In this investigation, Gaines found some parents have to take legal action to get their child a safe education. Darian will start us off.
This is a story about what happens when schools and families disagree over special education services. And what you uncovered is a very traumatic and expensive process for families and also school employees. What led you to investigate this?
So my reporting partner, Dylan Piers McCoy, and I started looking into this particular special education system up in Porter County because of the large number of complaints parents had filed against it. And I found a lawyer who represents parents in that area. She introduced me to Victoria, a Porter County parent who has tried to hold this public school system accountable. And what I learned from Victoria's experience and a lot of the reporting that Dylan and I have done together is that it's often left to parents to make sure schools are following the law.
Can you tell me more about Victoria and her daughter, Lena?
So Lena is in the fourth grade now, but she was born premature, and she spent more than 4 months in the neonatal intensive care unit. So as a result, she has some serious chronic health conditions, like a severe form of asthma. So for most of her life, she's needed a nurse by her side to monitor her health, and her family's medical insurance pays for this. So Victoria wanted Lena to go to their neighborhood elementary school with her nurse, but the public school system would not let the nurse come. So Victoria eventually enrolled her in a Montessori school that did allow the nurse to come in. And then Victoria learned that students with disabilities have a right to a public education, and that if the public school system can't accommodate Lena's needs, they may be required to pay for her private school tuition. So she hired a lawyer and requested a due process hearing.
Can you explain what that is?
So a due process hearing is like a court case. The family and the school system present their evidence, and they can also call witnesses to testify, like teachers and medical professionals. And then an independent hearing officer makes a decision in the case. So due process is expensive and extremely time-consuming for both parents and schools. And the process can destroy relationships between school staff and families. Victoria told me that it was one of the worst experiences of her life.
Are there other options a parent can take if they're not happy with their child's special education services?
There are. They could file a state complaint to the Department of Education. That's pretty easy compared to a due process. And so that would entail a state investigator coming out, looking into the allegations, and then making a decision. But the remedy that they would give a family isn't as significant as what you'd get in a due process case. So sometimes actually all they would require is for school staff to get trained on some aspect of special education law. And then parents can also try using mediation, but mediation really only works if both sides, so the school and the family, are willing to really come to the table, listen to each other, and perhaps compromise as well.
So what happened with Victoria's case?
So she won. The hearing officer ruled that the school violated her daughter's right to a free, appropriate public education. And then the school system appealed, and they ultimately settled out of federal court. So Victoria is under an NDA that prevents her from talking about what she got in that settlement. But I was able to get the agreement from the school system. It showed that they paid $100,000 to cover Victoria's attorney's fees and another $32,500 to cover the cost of Lena's education. So it's important to note here, though, that neither the settlement nor the hearing officer decision requires the public school system to allow Lena's nurse in. So that issue was never really resolved.
Where is Lena going to school now?
So Lena is in her last year at her Montessori school. She's doing really well. But Victoria is going to have to figure out where to send her next year. And she told me that no matter what, she will never send her back to the local public school system. Her trust in that institution is forever gone.
Thank you, Lee.
Thanks.
That was WFYI's Darian Benson and Lee Gaines. You can find more on that investigation and all our reporting on special education at WFYI.org. That's all for today's episode of WFYI News Now. Our podcast is produced by the following people who live in your community: Darian Benson, Aubriana Heron, Kendall Antron, who composed the music for this podcast, and me, Sarah Neil Estes. If you liked today's episode, remember to subscribe and share, and find us wherever you get your podcasts to hear more stories about your community. Thanks all. We'll be back tomorrow.